Hello, 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 and welcome back to Release a Podcast, where our motto is letting go of things that hold you back. I am Cynthia Haynes.
And Harold Weaver.
We're going to be talking about Misery Loves Company.
Yes, it does.
Go ahead, Harold.
Come on, Cynthia. You want me to go first?
Yes, please.
Thank you. I can't wait. So, let's talk about it. Let's talk about what Misery Loves Company means to you, to us. I believe that each and every one of us have a different definition of it. I believe that most of us have been through this before with somebody or know someone that's been through this, maybe even still in it, that can elaborate within yourselves, right? What it meant for them, what it means for you, what it means for me. So I'm going to talk about me. Misery Loves Company is simple for me. It's people in misery that refuse to either recognize it so they can own it, so they can do something about it. Those are the steps for me when we start talking about what misery is and how to get out of it. What misery is and how I feel like loves company. Why do I say that? Because if they can get somebody, whoever, to hear them out and either somehow side with them or either actually believe in them, in their misery, that's where the love comes from. That's where the fuel comes from to continue to burn that fire of misery. It's just that simple for me. But here's the key. Again, it's steps to it. You got to acknowledge it. You got to acknowledge that you're miserable. And sometimes that's hard. Sometimes that's hard for people to realize because people don't want to admit it. And if you can't admit it, you can't acknowledge it. If you can't acknowledge it or won't, you can't own it. You can't fix it. You can't. No matter how hard you try, no matter how many people try to give you answers, angles, and different ways to dealing with this misery, it doesn't have to be. Again, it all starts in the head. It all starts in the mind. It's a mindset. Misery is a mindset. It's just that simple. Now, I'm not saying that you're not going to have it. I'm not saying you're not going to get it. I might not even say you don't need it. But what you don't need is to linger on it. Let it destroy everything else that you got going on. Your happiness. Your peace. Your sanity. This is what misery will do. And the reason why I want to talk about Misery Loves Company, because that's that next step to misery, to keep it around just that much longer. To gather people to join you in this misery that ain't even theirs. But they love you and care for you so much that they'd rather sit in that misery with you than help you get rid of it. Especially when you're that determined to be in it, as if it was a good thing, not realizing that it's not. That's where the acknowledgement comes in. That's where the ownership comes in. That misery is not good, but you have to recognize it for what it is. You have to call it out. Misery be gone. What can I do to get out of this misery state of mind? Who can I listen to? Who can I talk to? Who can I vent with? None of that matters if you haven't acknowledged what it is. That should matter. And what should matter is what's affecting your peace.
True.
And misery will do that. Not only will misery affect your peace, it will steal your joy and your peace and more if you let it.
Yep, that's true.
But until you acknowledge it, you ain't doing nothing but sitting in it and looking for people to sit with you. Let me tell you how bad misery can get. These same loved ones, friends, family, that you feel should be sitting in that misery with you, and they choose not to, now you're blaming them. Now you're blaming them for that same piece and part of the misery that you was already in. You're blaming them for adding on to it, not realizing that you was already in this place before you decided to ask them to join you. And all they're looking at is a way to get you out of what you what you've been in for so long that you still haven't recognized how long. Right? Or you wouldn't ask for the help. Right. If you didn't think they could help you, you wouldn't ask for the help. Right? But don't judge them because they're not helping you or want to help you in a way you feel like you need the help. That's the key. Acknowledge what you're dealing with. That way you can accept the help that is out there for you to get through and past it. Steps, process, Acknowledgement's the key, though. If you can't acknowledge nothing, you can't change even more.
Yeah.
And you will end up being in a place for so long that when you look back, you're going to question. But who are you going to question? Are you going to question yourself or the ones that try to get you out of this misery? Misery loves company, y'all. If you don't know it, think back of where you might have been. Think back of a family friend, okay, that's been there. And you just never looked at it the way I just gave you to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
It's got its own definition, but we have our own comprehension.
Right.
What does misery, love company mean to you, Sam?
So as you was talking, what I thought about, I like illustration. So what I thought about was a like a garage.
Okay.
And with a garage, you can stack that garage with things. So much to where you can't even pull your car into it, right?
I can see that.
And the misery, like you were saying, is almost like that garage. You have piled it up so much to where the car that's supposed to be up in there can't even park up in there because it's so much stuff that you're holding on to, and you're blocking not only the entrance of coming in, but the exit of leaving out.
Okay.
Is that not good? Okay. So that's kind of like, I believe what Harold was saying, and it's like you, because you can sit into something, you can sit in something so long. The Bible talks about having a reprobate mind, which means that because you've been sitting in this for so long and you've been pondering on these thoughts for so long, you're stuck. And nobody can get in, not even God. You're just stuck. And so coming out of the Bible, I just found this passage that I wanted to read. And it was about Jairus. And Jairus was a man who his daughter had been sick. And his daughter was so sick to where it was like they thought she was going to die. And so he went looking and searching for Jesus because he felt that Jesus was the answer and that Jesus could heal her. But they don't tell us about what it was like while he was sitting there with his daughter or with his family, what was being said, what wasn't being said. But what it does talk about is that once they made it to the destination, once the man found Jesus and he brought Jesus back to his home, there was a certain amount of people. There was this people that were around the house that were out there mourning for the girl. And they were basically saying, oh, let's just go ahead and prepare for the funeral.
Okay.
And so even when Jesus came and Jesus said, well, she's not dead, she's just sleeping, the people laughed. And what Jesus did was because he could tell what their hearts were like and what the and what they were thinking. It wasn't nothing good. Okay. So Jesus told them they had to go. He wouldn't even allow these people to come and witness the miracle of him raising this girl from the dead. Why I picked this scripture, which was Mark 5:35-40, was because he had to get him away from the crowd that was around. Because the people that was around was having this man to doubt his faith.
Okay.
The people that was around was keeping this family in this situation that could change because he went and got God. But had he stayed in that environment, had Jesus let these people come in with them, then that doubt would have been able to creep in. And they would have been stuck where they were before. And that's what we were talking about. Misery loves company. Had that man not got away out of that circle, he would have been right there with those people bearing his child. But because he knew that it was something better, he had to get out of what he was in. He had to recognize it, get up and do something about it. And doing something about it was getting up and leaving and going find the answer. And so sometimes your misery, like you said, is because of what you're keeping around you that's keeping you stuck in that misery. I've heard this saying that you might have your episode, you may have this situation, you might have your sorrow moment or whatever, but don't park the car there. It's only there for like a pit stop. You get in the pit, you get out of the pit. So if you don't never recognize it, if you don't never own it, if you don't do something different or something about it, then you're going to continue this cycle. And we know people and seen people that are in this cycle that just cannot. They'll talk about it. They'll complain about it. They'll say they want something different, but they'll continue to do the same thing that they've always done and never do anything different.
So let me speak on a more, per, not, not so much personal, but a more realistic for our current position, okay, on this topic. So I'm sure all of you have a family member that feels like it's either their way or no way. And that's where you can get in trouble. One of the ways you can get in trouble with this topic and this theory of misery, love, and company. When you're in that mindset where it's your way or no way, then that's all you hear. That's all you speak of. That's all you speak on. That's all you see. That's all you believe. So what you run into is this person that you can see the uncomfortability in them. You can see the misery in them. You can see the struggle in them. Sometimes, depending on who it is, like a child, like a parent, right? You can feel that misery in them. But because they're in that mindset where it's their way or no way, or better yet, maybe worse, you can't tell them anything, is why they sit in this misery for so long. Because in that mindset, you can't acknowledge anything other than what you want to. You can't see what you should see other than what you want to and how to see it. So now we're still talking about misery, but this person doesn't see the misery. Mm-hmm. This person doesn't even feel the misery. So there's no way this person can consider it to be misery. Mm. Right? Mm-hmm. But they're still looking for that support. Mm-hmm. Right? They're still looking for that person or persons to lean on for comfort. Not realizing what they're really dealing with, and what they really need is support to get out of this misery. So here we go. We're trying to, you know, explain what they're dealing with. And I'm going to come back to what we all deal with anyway. But in this particular example, we're trying to explain to them what we're dealing with or what they're dealing with and how to deal with it in a different way. Well, where do we start? Well, for me, the first thing would be to get them to see it in a different way. So they can deal with it in a different way, or at least consider dealing with it in a different way by seeing it in a different way. It's hard to get somebody to see something that's only looking at things one way. Yeah. It's hard to get someone to consider a different way when it's not theirs. And we all know people like that, that it's either their way or no way. They've either done it already, you can't teach them, show them better. They either have not thought of it first, so because you have, can't be right. I know someone like that. I know a couple of people like that. I'm sure you guys do as well. But my example falls back on that misery that they might be stuck in, that they don't realize. Because what? They've called it something else to camouflage it. They've called it something else to deal with it in that way as if it was something else, but it's not.
Yeah.
And then they wonder why they're still in it. They wonder what they're doing wrong. They wonder what they've done wrong to still be sitting in this pot, this place of misery. And then they're looking at you crazy. Because you don't want to sit in it with them.
Right.
And you feel like you've done all you can do. Say all you can say. Show them all you can show them how to get out of this position that they refuse to acknowledge what it is. If we could just get, and I know we've all been through this and felt this way. If we could just get them to acknowledge what it is, it would be so much easier to get them out of it. Admit, submit to what it is. We can acknowledge it together. You don't have to do none of this by yourself. But we all know that person that you can't tell them anything. So they already feel like they're on their own. They're on their own. They already feel like they're by themselves, no matter what the support is. They already feel like they're by themselves. They already feel like they're on that island on their own, still looking for support. We're going to give it to them because we care. But one thing I tell my children all the time, you got to care about yourself first before you can care about anybody else. And I'm particular on that because I believe there's no other way around it. How can you? How can you really care about somebody else more than yourself? Right? And it be sincere and it be legit to the point where we can all come back together in peace.
Yeah.
Misery loves company. Look at it. Look at it. Look at somebody you know that's misery, that's miserable, and is looking for you to help them. Be miserable with them instead of help them get out of it. Don't even want to talk about it, being miserable. They want to call it something else. They want it to be something else only because they refuse to see it for what it is. Mm-hmm. And this is why they're still in it. This is why they're going to continue to be in it. Then they look at you crazy because you walk away from it. I'll give you a better example. My mom for the longest. And I know a lot of people, but this one right here, so it's more at home for me because she's still the same way. She's up in age. So I had to accept the fact. Here's my point. I had to accept the fact that this is not going to change. So instead of ignoring it as if it didn't exist, I had to figure out a way to deal with it in a different way so it didn't affect my peace or put me in a place with her, that misery, and then we both stuck. But there are going to be times, and I'm going to show you one of them, where you're going to be blamed, accused of being selfish, not caring, all about yourself. You know where that comes from? You know where that thought comes from? Misery. Because you're choosing not to be that company. They're choosing to blame you for their misery. How crazy is that? So, my mom for the longest, she would talk about my brother. She would talk about pretty much anything and anybody for as long as she could, but never do anything about it. And it got to a point where I was like, Mom, if you're just going to talk about it and not do anything about it, then I don't want to talk about it no more. Because it hurts me. It bothers me to see you still sitting in that misery. It bothers me to see you still allowing the same complaint, the same issue, the same problem to affect you the same amount to the point where you continue to complain about it in the same way and not do nothing about it. I don't want to hear about it no more. Until you ready to do something about it, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to hear about it. What happened? I got accused of being selfish, not caring, all about myself. I am. I'm not all about myself. I'm all about my peace. I'm all about your peace. Because that's what I want. If I could get it, I want peace for everybody. Everybody. Not just my family members. Not just my loved ones. I want peace in the world. But how can we get it if we're not prepared, able, and willing to acknowledge what it takes to get it? Misery loves company. Can we get peace and get some company there? I want some company that's got peace so I can share mine and they can share theirs. Come on, Sam. What?
This subject was really, on his heart. And so though I'm not, I'm chiming in, but, I just felt like this was something that was on his heart. And, I think you had a lot to put out for it. Mm-hmm. And I just agree with you. It's a cycle. And sometimes as hard as it is to walk away, sometimes you just got to walk away from that cycle and just continue to pray for the ones who are still stuck in the cycle. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all, I'm sure, can say we have some family members that are in misery, and they can't see it because they're in it and they've been in it for so long. It's hard, it becomes a stronghold, and it's hard to just pull them out of it. And even if they come out of it for a little bit, they're going to end up being right back in it. So it's like a yo-yo effect. Mm-hmm. And so if you're not careful, it can weigh on you as the person on the outside looking in and actually seeing what it is. Mm-hmm. And then you're trying to bring the difference. You're trying to pull them out of it and you're trying to show them a better way, but they continue to backhand you out the way and pretty much shoo you away like a fly.
Cast you out.
Right? Mm-hmm. But, it's something that's real. And, all I can say is that, you just got to continue to pray. But just make sure that you don't get stuck in that, because not only, being in our own way can be in our way, and it can even block God from being, in, because you have such a strong resistance to change that, you know, God is the type of God that he's sovereign and he's just, and he's not going to force you to do anything, just right. like he doesn't force you to love him.
Right.
And so he'll let you sit in your way mm-hmm. if you don't want to get out of the way. Mm-hmm. Ooh, that was a rhyme. Yeah, okay. Right. So, but there is hope, you know. I continue to pray for family members. I continue to pray for friends. But like Harold say, just don't you get caught up in it, because you can find yourself ending up being, you're complaining about it so much and you're focusing on it so much of how hard it is that it can change you. Mm-hmm. It can get you caught up in it. Mm-hmm. And now you're stuck in that circle. You might not be in the same circle with them, but it's a cousin to that circle. Mm. And so...
Not the cousin.
Yeah, cousin to that circle. So you just got to be careful. You just got to know, you know, when enough is enough, when you've done all that you can do. And then, as we always say, you got to leave it in God's hand, because it's God's timing.
How much more time do we have? Because I want to touch on something real quick.
We got another... six minutes.
So this is what you can do. What you can do is start looking at the signs. Okay? Just take a second out of your day to pay more attention to those signs. And you might not know what to look for, but trust me, when you put it in your mind to consider something looking, sounding, and feeling different, it probably is. In that loved one, in that friend, in that child. Look for the signs. Look for something that just does not look and feel right in that person. To not just sit on it, ignore it, but acknowledge it in some form or fashion. Ask, what's going on? What's wrong? My favorite line, Scent, share your thoughts. Share your thoughts. We all got them, right? We all got thoughts. But how many people do you know that out of the blue, unexpectedly, ask you to share your thoughts? I do it to Cynthia all the time. I do it to people all the time. Well, I do it to people that I care enough to know that they won't ignore or they won't take in the wrong way what I'm suggesting. And at the same time, if you know me, then you know I'm not coming at you in a negative form or way. I'm coming at you with care and concern. I'm coming at you without specifically saying something ain't right, something could be wrong, but this is my way of not assuming either. Share your thoughts. You'd be surprised how open you'll get people to share with you, right? That either A, they didn't know how to initially, or B, they thought they didn't want to initially until you got them in that position to feel comfortable enough to do so anyway.
Hmm.
Share your thoughts. Too many times I've had that opportunity to question somebody or request somebody to share their thoughts, where I would get so much that they could have let off and got off of their mind, off their chest a long time ago. And my next thing would be, why? Why have you been holding on to that? Why didn't you tell me sooner? Why didn't you share that sooner? Why didn't you ask me that sooner? All it takes is those few couple of words of encouragement, of support, of additional strength that some of us don't have. But a lot of us don't even know we have until they're put in that position to find it. That we sometimes have to find it for them. Share your thoughts. I do it all the time. All the time. Cynthia, share your thoughts. Sometimes I catch her off guard where, watch this, she has so many thoughts, she don't even know where to start. Am I right? And she'd be like, this is what I don't let her do. I don't have any thoughts. Yes, you do. You just wouldn't expect me to ask you. Give me something so we can move on to even more. Because you got to start somewhere. Everybody got thoughts. Some we want to share, some we don't. Some we need to share, some we won't. Come on now.
You must be talking to yourself.
I'm just saying. Try it. Try to think. To ask that question before you ask, what's wrong? I talk about that too. Why always go left when you should go right first? I think left is the less positive. That's how I see it. Right is positive. Right is the green light. For me, left is the red light. Need I say more? That caution is in the middle. I'm going right first before I even consider needing to go left. Right first, caution next. Process, my steps. Doesn't work for everybody. But trust me when I tell you, about to be 60, stress-free, peace on top of the world, trying to get and share it with everybody else, and some more, try it. Try it. I'm giving y'all some homework.
Okay.
Try asking the closest person to you, friend, family member, whoever that person might be, ask them to share their thoughts. Watch what happens next.
Mm-hmm.
Gonna take us out? Right.
Yeah. So, we just want you to, like Harold said, he didn't give you the homework. Mm-hmm. So don't just breeze by this episode and just don't do anything with it. Listen to it. Mm-hmm. Ponder on what we're saying. Think about it, because it might be a part of your life and the area of your life that you might have some misery and you're stuck. And you might need to reevaluate. Mm-hmm. You know, this is June. This is the 6th month of the year. Mm. We're at the halftime mark.
Yes, we are.
And so if you didn't get it right the first 6 months, you got another second half to get it right. So
never
this is
late.
The time, yes, to reevaluate and get all your ducks in a row, what they say, right?
Okay. You mean your figure of speeches, but we'll go with that one.
That part. So, you know, if you like the show, please reach out to us at releaseitpodcast@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Give us your concerns. Let us know if you want us to talk about a certain subject, and we will. Let us know how we're doing. Rate us so that way we know we can continue to bring some good positive, encouraging, and motivating episodes for you guys. We want to be relevant, and we want to help you so that you can make it to your final destination. And so,
let me say this.
Go ahead.
God brought us together to do this, to create this, and bring it to you guys weekly. I can admit first that I never thought that it would last this long, and we might never know what the specific purpose was, but we know there is one. And we're going to continue doing this until he brings it to us to see what it was for. And we won't stop until he does.
Yeah.
Come on.
All right. So, God, I just say thank you for this. I just pray to whoever's listening to this episode that it will take root in their hearts and it will help them to make the changes that they need to change. If it's family members or friends that they are dealing with, give them the strategy, the wisdom to know when to walk away, when to pray, and what to say. Mm. And whatever I didn't know to say in this episode or in this prayer, God, I pray you go beyond this prayer and you do what you know needs to be done. And this I pray in Jesus' name.